जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वित चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वित चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वित चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद Good morning, devotees. Hare Krishna. Chapahul obeisances. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. So this morning's class is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, beginning with chapter 2, text 6. So that's pulled up. So I'm going to read that three times and then anyone who wants to repeat that can do that. Brahma Atma Bhagavan Anuvadatina Anga Prabha Amsha Swarup Tina Vedya Chinha. Brahma Atma Bhagavan Anuvadatina Anga prava amsa svarup tena vidhyeya china Brahma atma bhagavan anuvadatina Anga prava amsa svarup tena vidhyeya china Hare Krishna. Okay, so word for word, Brahma, the impersonal Brahman. Atma, localized Paramatma. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Anuvada, subject. Tina, three. Anga, prabha, bodily effulgence. Amsha, partial manifestation. Swarup, original form. Tina, three. Videya, tina. Predicates. So, translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Impersonal Brahman, the localized Paramatma, and the personality of Godhead are three subjects, and the glowing effulgence, the partial manifestation, and the original form are their three respective predicates. Om Aginati Midanyasya Jnana Gina Shalakaya Chakshu Ummilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shicha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sucha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasunibhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivacharya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatya Deshitarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padaya Te Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gura Tuche Namaha Nandalila Maya Vigrahaya Vimahavya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Maha Prema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So the translation again for Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila chapter 2 text 6. Impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the personality of Godhead are three subjects. And the glowing effulgence, the partial manifestation, and the original form are their three respective predicates. Hare Krishna. So what's been explained here are the connections between the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the partial manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then the Personality of Godhead, Sri Bhagavan, as a whole. And this particular text talks about subjects, three subjects, and three predicates. Reminds me of when I was in school. School, and when we were taught English grammar. That's what I meant to say. Subject and predicate. Actually, I got most of the questions that was asked about subject and predicate. I remember getting them correctly. So, the subject is the beginning, and usually of the sentence, and the predicate is the rest of it, that describes what the subject is about. So in this one, the three features, which is also described in Srimad Bhagavatam, the three features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the impersonal Brahman, impersonal because his effulgent rays, the rays are spiritual, the Lord is spiritual. The localized Paramatma, why localized? Well, localized Paramatma is in our hearts and also in the heart of every individual. Doesn't have to be a human. All 8,400,000 types of bodies have the Paramatma located in them. So the localized Paramatma. Whereas the impersonal Brahman, the fulgence is everywhere. Shining everywhere, pervading. The localized Paramatma is also pervading, but localized in the individual entities. In fact, Paramatma is in every single atom. So in that sense, it's also spread, but spread from one to another. One individual to another individual. One entity to another entity. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the total, sum total of all the incarnations and all the partial manifestations. The sum total is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, there are different classes of people that worship and stick to the different aspects as is described here. But the text itself says, impersonal Brahman, that connects to, that's the subject. So we can make three sentences here. Impersonal Brahman is the glowing effulgence. The Paramatma is the partial manifestation. And the personality of Godhead is the original form, which we talked about some total here. We'll talk more about it later. But the other texts, text 7, text 8, and text 9 that I'd like to bring to the picture now. So, text 6, so now text 7, yeah. And text 7 basically says, well, let's read the transcript first. Anuvada age pache vidya stapana se artha karti suna shastra viparana vivarana. Translation is, a predicate always follows the subject. Now I shall explain the meaning of this verse according to the revealed scriptures. A predicate follows the subject. That's my grammar teacher taught me that. Always. Subject starts, predicate follows. In a few instances, the subject is put in the back and the predicate is started, but that's when the sentence is reformed, and I don't want to get into a grammar class on this. So, predicate follows the subject. Subject comes first, like the subject we talked about. The Brahman, that's the effulgence. Subject is, that's the Brahman, and that's the predicate, is the rest of the sentence is the effulgence, like that. So it just says here, good information, predicate follows the subject. Now he's going to explain the meaning of this verse according to the revealed scriptures. So we can go to 2:8 now. So 2:8, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Vishnu Paratattva Purna Jnana Purna Nanda Parama Mahatva. So the translation by Srila Prabhupada: Krishna, the original form of the personality of Godhead, is the summum bonum of all pervading Vishnu. He is all perfect knowledge and all perfect bliss, and he is a supreme transcendence. So now we're starting from the end. If you look at 2:6, how it started with the Brahman effulgence, and then the Paramatma was localized in the heart of every living entity, and then the personality of Godhead, the summum bonum. This text starts now with the summum bonum by name. Okay, chapter 2:6, the name was not mentioned. Now, 2:8 mentions Krishna, the original form of the personality of Godhead, is the sum total, the summum bonum, of all pervading Vishnu. How and why is it put like that? We know different types of Vishnu. We know Mahavishnu, from whom the universes come. We know Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. From Mahavishnu expands to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu's navel is where Lord Brahma sprouts, comes out. The navel, the lotus sprouts from the navel, Lord Brahma is born there. Lord Brahma is the one that gives the variety for each universe. Each universe has a Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma creates the varieties in the universe. And if you look at some of us that know about Christianity, the Bible talks about how God created things, and then it goes to detail about let there be this, let there be that, let there be the varieties. That's Lord Brahma's work. And the Christians call him God. Well, in some cases, he's looked at as the supreme head, but the supreme head for each universe, though. All the universes together that come from Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu is an expansion of Krishna. So Krishna is the original form. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu expands from Mahavishnu. And then Shirodakshaya Vishnu, who connects with the Paramatma. Shirodakshaya Vishnu, it's a form of Vishnu, and is in our hearts, and in the heart of every living entity. So, the Lord Krishna is the original form. Through all of these expansions come by his own sweet will. Now, in 2:9, so you can now go to 2:9. And that's where much of we're going to spend most time at. So, text 9. Nanda Sutta Baliyani Bhagavate Gai Se Krishna Abhartina Chaitanya Goshani. Now the connection is going to be made. He whom Srimad Bhagavatam describes as the son of Nanda Maharaj has descended to earth as Lord Chaitanya. So this one has a purport. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to the rules of rhetorical arrangement for efficient composition in literature, a subject should be mentioned before its predicate. We've talked about that earlier. The Vedic literature frequently mentions Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and therefore these three terms are widely known as the subjects of transcendental understanding. But it is not widely known that what is approached as the impersonal Brahman is the effulgence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, transcendental body. So permit me to stop a little bit here and just take the purport, you know, bit by bit and relate it to the translation. So the translation says, he whom Srimad Bhagavatam describes as the son of Nanda Maharaj, that's Krishna, has descended to earth as Lord Chaitanya. So we know in previous texts and also in the Bhagavatam that Krishna is described as the sum total. It's actually been said here also. But the point that Chaitanya Charitamrita is making is that Krishna, the things that we've learned about Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam relates directly to Lord Chaitanya also. So that's why it's put this way in this text, that he whom Srimad Bhagavatam describes as the son of Nanda Maharaj, the same Krishna has now come, descended to earth in this Kali Yuga as Lord Chaitanya. So everything that applies to Krishna, his person and his qualities, applies to Lord Chaitanya also. He is the same Krishna. As a matter of fact, when he was born, he was called Gaura, Gaura Golden, Hari. Hari is Krishna. And it's described that Lord Chaitanya and Krishna look alike. The difference is the color. Golden color, and Krishna is bluish black, still effulgent, and Lord Chaitanya is effulgent. The color change is the difference, and the color change is the reason for it. You'll go into the reason a little bit. So Radha and Krishna, we're talking, Radha, the female, or the internal potency, pleasure potency of Krishna, the personification of it. So Radha, Srimati Radharani, was informed by Krishna that he would go to the earth. Advaita Acharya was, after all, asking for him to come. And he also would want to taste the love that Srimati Radharani has for him, Krishna. Srimati Radharani warned that if you want to taste the love, in other words, feel the way I feel love for you, that way, you are going to be quite overwhelmed. And for that reason, you may hurt yourself, and I would like to protect you from that, from any bodily harm. And therefore, I would want you to take my basically, a simple way of describing it is a skin, but the collar. When you're talking about the Lord and the Lord's eternal potency, you know, things don't work like those of us with physical bodies. It doesn't quite relate that way. But the protection was going to come from the golden effulgence, the golden color of skin of Radharani. So Krishna agreed. And so when he was born with the color of Radharani. So that was the internal reason why Lord Chaitanya came in the golden color. Little over 500 years ago. And if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita in detail, the times after he got initiated by Ishwarapuri, this is Lord Chaitanya, and then he started spreading the Sankirtan movement all around India, started traveling. Lord Chaitanya held wonderful kirtans in the streets of Navadvipa. He also did that in different parts of India. Went to South India, he traveled many, many places. And everywhere he went, he was beckoning people and showing people how to worship Sri Krishna by the chanting of Hare Krishna in Kirtan. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. The sound that he was making was tumultuous. And he was in great great, great love of Godhead was a Krishna Prema, and showing what a person who is a Krishna Prema behaves, the symptoms. And sure enough, he was roaring Krishna's name, he was jumping, he was falling, he was passing out, he was coming back to and shouting Krishna's name, sweating, hairs standing on end. All of these are signs of different levels of Krishna Prema. If we have time, we'll go through the different levels. So different levels of Krishna Prema. So Lord Chaitanya showed this. Krishna himself had spoken to Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra, about who he is, who we are, a deep summary, so we can get appreciation for who we are spiritually and who Krishna is, and our function as servant of a servant of a servant of Krishna. Krishna told that, spoke that. Lord Chaitanya came to show how to get Krishna Prema. He was distributing Krishna Prema freely. People have trouble understanding Krishna, much less love Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya, Sri Prabhupada described, Lord Chaitanya was freely giving. You just have to be excited, enjoying what he was doing, and you develop love for Godhead that way. So Lord Chaitanya is the most beneficent, the most merciful form of a Lord. Yogis try so much to get to that level of love of Godhead, and it's difficult for them. But Lord Chaitanya showed it in a wonderful musical way. Music, dance, and putting your heart in it, which is what we're required to do. So from this point on, nobody should be a little bit laid back when the kirtan is going on. Get into it yourself too, so you can develop. It's all about action. And if you try, you'll get there. So there are people who are in the temple who dance, and there are people who should join it too, because you will see that the love of Godhead that you hear in the lectures can in fact be slowly, gradually developed by everybody when you get excited. The word is enthusiasm, enthusiastic in service and also enthusiastic in chanting the holy name of the Lord. That's where it's at. It's that simple in Kali Yuga. Anyway, so the Vedic literature frequently, this is the Prabhupada, mentions Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And so these terms are known widely as the three subjects of transcendental understanding. But when you start with Brahman, Sri Prabhupada says it's not widely known that what is approached as the impersonal Brahman is the effulgence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental body. We say Krishna's transcendental body, but Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nor is it widely known, Sri Prabhupada continues, that the super soul of Paramatma is only a partial representation of Lord Chaitanya, who is identical with Bhagavan himself. So when we say partial representation, one of the ways to look at it is also that some of the qualities of Krishna by his own will are not exhibited by the super soul. It's not that the super soul cannot, but by Krishna's own will, some things are taken away. For example, you would never hear super soul relating in Madhurya Leela. Super soul and the gopis. It doesn't happen. The super soul is in the heart, like it's a different function altogether. And the Krishna, who is in fact the sum total of all of the incarnations, he dances with gopis. He was the cowherd boys. Super soul cowherd boys? No, super soul is in the heart. And so there are some activities the super soul does not take part in. In fact, there are four of them. I just mentioned one. So nor is it widely known the super soul or Paramatma is only a partial representation of Lord Chaitanya, who is identical with Bhagavan himself. Therefore, the descriptions, I'm reading back to purport, the descriptions of Brahman as the effulgence of Lord Chaitanya, or Paramatma as his partial representation, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as identical with Lord Chaitanya, must be verified by evidence from authoritative Vedic literatures. Okay, so it's not known, it says it has to be verified. All right, we continue with the purport. The author wants to establish that first that the essence of the Vedas is Vishnu Tattva, the absolute truth. Tattva means truth. The all-pervading Godhead. The Vishnu Tattva has different categories, of which the highest is Lord Krishna, as I described earlier, Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Shivodakshaya Vishnu, and then there are other Leela avatars, pastimes of the Lord. He's come in certain ways. For example, when Sringadev came, it was because of the situation between Prahlad Maharaj and his father Hiranyakashipu. The Lord appears in certain ways, in certain forms. It's the same Supreme in certain forms, you know, for particular pastimes. So, the Chimpapa continues, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Nanda Sutta, the son of King Nanda. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that Nanda Sutta has again appeared as Lord Sri Krishna, the son of King Nanda. The Lord likes pastimes. The Lord likes to relate to his pure devotees in different ways. And this particular one, the son of Nanda, is what's called a Vatsalya Ras, where a pure devotee plays the role of a parent of the Lord. And by Yogamaya, the energy of the Lord as a personality that puts the pure devotees of the Lord temporarily in a certain mindset where they cannot tell what's fully real. For example, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna appeared as the son of Nanda and Yashoda to be cared for. It was also, we're going to a long thing about it, but first it started with Devaki and Vasudev, and then later on the care was given by Nanda and Yashoda. So Krishna was called Nanda Sutta. So Devaki Nandan is also right, because he was born from Devaki. He appeared from Devaki. So Nanda Sutta has again appeared as Lord Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the statement here, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, bases the statement on his understanding that the Vedic literature concludes there is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the main point here. Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This the author will prove. If it is thus proved that Sri Krishna is the origin of all tattvas, all truths, namely Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and that there is no difference between Sri Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it will not be difficult to understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also the same origin of all tattvas. The same absolute truth is revealed to students of different realizations. As he is revealed to students of different realizations, it's called Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So in this part here, the main thing, the main takeaway, if you like, is that even though Lord is describing his features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, that Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan is also talking about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no difference between Krishna, as we know, in Krishna, in Kurukshetra, and other parts of the world where he played, in India especially, where he played his pastimes. That's the same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, same as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As a matter of fact, as I remember, His Holiness Guru Govinda Maharaj made a point that the Krishna Lila and Gaura Lila, the bottom line is the same personality. Hmm? Krishna Lila takes place in Vrindavan, Gaura Lila in Navadvip, but that's locations. That's locations. But the underneath, the principal people playing the roles are the same, and so the connection in Gaura Lila and Krishna Lila are established. What do we mean by that? Well, we'll take a few examples. We know Krishna relates to the gopis in Vrindavan. One of the more popular gopis are who? Anybody can unmute and talk about two of them that are known in the altars, practically everywhere they're gopis, they definitely are there. Who are they? Lalita and Vishakha, exactly. Now, Lalita and Vishakha relate to Krishna in Vrindavan, the gopis. Now, in Chaitanya Lila, Lord Sri Chaitanya is told, we've been told the same as Krishna. So he's relating to Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar is Lalita. And Ramananda Raya, the governor. Ramananda Raya is Vishakha. So see, the personalities, the activities may be different, the location may be different, but the connection is the same. Krishna with Lalita and Vishakha. Lord Chaitanya with Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Raya. Right? So from that sense, in that sense, the Leelas may have different, you know, aspects to it as far as the detail goes, but the connection to Krishna is the same. And the connection to Krishna is what Srila Gopinath Maharaj was saying. The same personalities, Krishna, Lalita, and Vishakha, as an example. Krishna relating to gopis that way. So the gopis came, and why are they in male bodies? Because Lalita and Vishakha are female. Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Raya are male. The reason being that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to take sannyas. This was a prearranged. He was going to take sannyas. And sannyasis usually would relate to men. They still do here. The people who are closest to them and travel with them usually are men. And therefore, to assist in the Gaura Lila, since the Lord was going to come teach in the sannyas ashram, because at that time the most respectable ashram was the sannyas ashram, so he would be heard more. So he took put on the sannyas garb, shaved his head, and basically lived a life that way so that he could be heard more when he preached. At that time, people respected sannyasis the most, especially spiritually. But also, sannyas means you're running around more with men and not women. And so, then Lalita and Vishakha took that particular form as Swarup Damodar and some of the Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Raya, and even some of the Manjaris also came in male form. Rupa Manjari became Rupa Goswami, all in male form, but in the spiritual world, it's a female. Their original forms are female. So this is all for our benefit. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 11, Varantita tatvavidas tatvadyaj jnanam advayam brahmiti paramatmiti bhagavan iti sabyate. Srila Prabhupada quotes it quite a lot. That's the part in the Srimad Bhagavatam that supports what we're talking about. Learned transcendentalists, the translation. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. In Srimad Bhagavatam, he's talking about Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, just like we are here talking about in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The absolute truth is both subject and object, and there's no qualitative differences there. Srila Prabhupada is describing the same with different words in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So yogis meditate on Paramatma, trying to see the Lord in the heart. And then there are those who are at the beginning of spiritual realization. They only meditate on the rays of the Lord. And Bhagavan, as Srila Prabhupada describes, that's the fullness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we have activities there, pastimes. So we have been connected with Krishna, the sum total, the summum bonum. So devotees are most fortunate because we are being trained, even while we are conditioned souls, to relate to Krishna as a whole. As a whole, not Paramatma and not the effulgent rays. So, Srila Prabhupada describes that less intelligent students of either of the above schools, these schools, those who learn the Brahman effulgence or the Paramatma, they sometimes argue in favor of their respective realization, but those who are perfect seekers of absolute truth know well that the three features of absolute truth are different perspective views seen from different angles of vision. Alright, so we're not too concerned about this. We have to be concerned about Krishna, relating to Krishna, and not just the effulgence or the Lord in the heart. Of course, we get help from the Lord in the heart. We know very well that He is the one that permits us to do things. That is a function of it. So, in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, we talk about a little bit about Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. 16th century, around there he was born. 1486 to 1533. So he lived 48 years, including 1486 to 1533, 48 years total. So Bhakti, Srila Prabhupada says, received an important new impulse in the form of the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Put in another way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the one that excited more people into taking up bhakti. There were people who were in Navadvip who were Vaishnavas, involved in the devotional service to the Lord, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it to a whole other level of excitement. And secondly, he also gave Krishna prema. Those are the two major things. Got people very excited, so excited that people actually literally fast-forwarded to Krishna prema. The very thing that devotees start with faith and build up to sadhu sangha, association of devotees, and it's a stepwise. Then you get a spiritual master, and then you deal with your problems, difficulties, nativity, things that you need to clean up from before you become steady and then more convinced, and then you disconnect from material energy, and then you have the first signs of love Godhead, which is called bhava, and then finally the Krishna prema. By following Lord Chaitanya, if you put your heart into it, Krishna prema can in fact be arrived at fairly quickly. So that was the point, that was a power, and that was a mercy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. He was only here 48 years. That was it. But so much from his beginning of life to so many pastimes. We don't have time to go through it. But there's a place called Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And we'll take a few points here, so I'm looking at the time. So by chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Whether one has gotten a guru or not, following Srila Prabhupada's teachings, the plant of devotional service is grown. The seed is grown and the plant begins to sprout up and it begins to grow fully. And at some point, depending on how seriously we take this process and follow the rules of what you do and the prohibitions, what you don't do, which is no meat eating, no fish, no eggs, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. If you follow that, and then you chant and you constantly hear, the growth will come. Sometimes people say, but I've done this for a long time and I don't seem to feel much. Well, keep hearing, because if you hear, you will get the impetus to hear more and more and more and more, and you will learn, and from that you will grow. You will grow by acting on what you learn, though. You just don't learn just to know it, and then say, I know, and I can just spill out whatever I know. That's not much of bhakti. Bhakti is action. So it's your heart, when your heart is open and you serve more, and you even ask for more service, then the love also grows. And Krishna helps you to become more and more excited about Krishna consciousness. It works like that. You have to put in the effort. So even if it doesn't feel good, but you're convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you're in the right place. So you start serving. You start serving. Then it becomes habit. Then you grow to like it, and then you're going to love it. And later on when you love it, this is where Krishna begins to open the sweetness of devotional service, the rewards of devotional service to you. And the person feels very happy inside. It takes time, but it's our own way to how greedy we are to be Krishna conscious. How greedy we are. So the plant, the devotional plant, would grow and grow and grow. The more we are around devotees who are also doing the same thing, then we grow together. And we water the plant by chanting and also hearing. Chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Lord Chaitanya, in his life, this short 48 years, when he met Rupa Goswami, he pointed out a number of things to him. And Rupa Goswami wrote books, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, there's so much that's there. So we'll say a little bit. We have to be careful with our devotional creeper, our devotional plant. You say creeper because it starts just a root seed, and it just its root sprouts up and gets a little root and a little, and it starts growing. But at any time, something can disturb it. It's only a plant, there's danger. When you're watering the root of the devotional plant, and Lord Chaitanya pointed it out so Rupa Goswami can also give us that nectar, which Lord Chaitanya gave him. And he's saying, after a plant has grown somewhat, some animal may come, may either eat the plant or destroy it. That can happen. When the green leaves of a plant are eaten by some animal, what happens to the plant? It generally dies. So we have to take precautions. Now, the way in which bhakti plant can die primarily is offenses. An offense to a pure devotee, and that's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned. The offense to a pure devotee of a Lord is called Vaishnava Aparad. It's called a mad elephant offense. While doing devotional service, offense to the feet of a pure devotee creates havoc and stops one's advancement. So we have to be really, really, really careful. And some of us, when we talk about it, we sound like a broken record. But the fact is, if you're going to put in the effort to disconnect from material nature and be part of devotional service, to grow, and this is the best thing you can do for your life, and then allow offenses to stop the advancement, what's the point? So we have to be really, really, really careful not to offend people. We have to be careful how we speak. We have to be careful how we relate to others. Don't do things to make other people get offended, to get upset, to get uncomfortable with you, and start staying away from you. That person is a devotee, it really, really, really will affect you. And of course, it's talked about here, that last point we're making is, offense to the lotus feet of a pure devotee creates havoc. Yes, pure devotees are there, but pure devotees don't advertise themselves. So a person may be young, and you say, oh, it's a pastor, he doesn't even have a spiritual master, I can say whatever I want to him. No, no, because you do not know where that person has come from, what their previous lives were like, how they have lived a life of devotion before, whether they are also from the spiritual world that have come to help. They don't advertise themselves. Therefore, across the board, whether you know the person to be a pure devotee or not, you have to relate nicely to them and be open to serving them. So that's an important point that we have to be aware of. As we chant and as we hear the offenses, and there are 10 offenses. Right now it's too close to 9 o'clock. In fact, I've spoken quite long. So I'm going to stop here. But there are 10 offenses. Another time we can get into that. Just make sure that you don't do things to get other people really upset. Hare Krishna. Sometimes, as you mentioned, it seems like people don't hear more about Lord Chaitanya. It's Krishna, Krishna. Well, the mantra itself doesn't have Lord Chaitanya mentioned directly. The mantra says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And that's what we're supposed to repeat. But Lord Chaitanya himself was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra like that. But this is why the spiritual master, who is a guide, is important to us. The fact of the matter is we need to remember, there's a couple of things we could do. One, in every home, if you're going to have deities or pictures of deities, Gaura Nithai should be one of them. Gaura Nithai should be one of them because we say, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gaura Chashay Namaha. That Lord Chaitanya is the most munificent form, the most merciful form of the Lord. And for all devotees who are, for us who are conditioned souls, and not even chanting 64 rounds a day, we need all the mercy we can get. We need all the mercy we can get. So that form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead came to excite us about Krishna consciousness and also give mercy, giving us a break. Basically, when you get mercy, you're getting a break from what the standard is and what we are prepared to do. And the Lord saying, okay, we will still take you. So even if one is not aware of Lord Gauranga's position, we will definitely, and I know how you face the question, how can we people get connected more to Gauranga and understand his position? The only way to do it is tell it more and more and more and more so people know, eventually make that connection. Actually, the mercy comes from Lord Gauranga. Krishna in a merciful form. It's the same. This whole thing we're talking about here was to prove this text, 2.6 to 2.9, was to prove that everything we talked about Krishna applies to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he's the same. The difference is the mercy is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The mercy, most merciful form of the Lord is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as we chant Hare Krishna, we also should chant Gauranga, Gaurantai, Gauranga, Nityananda, Gauranga, Nityananda. That also should be there. In fact, Sri Prabhupada said a person who chants the name of Lord Gauranga repeatedly, looking at the Lord and chanting the Lord's name, is actually given the break of never seeing a hellish planet. You don't go to a hellish planet. That won't happen. Anyone, they didn't say initiated, anyone that chants Lord Gauranga's name, if they have done things to even have them go to a hellish planet, they will be spared from it. This is the power of the name of Lord Gauranga. So we should remember, Lord Gauranga is really the break that Krishna has given us, his merciful form. He has spoken Bhagavad Gita and we can live according to what he said to do. Lord Chaitanya, if you connect with him, he says chant the holy name. So you chant the holy name, and that's obeying Lord Chaitanya, then we get the break from our the challenges that we have. We will get the mercy through Lord Gauranga, Lord Nityananda. Hare Krishna.